saith the Lord. Come out from among this world and live a good life, a moral life, a spiritual life. Be separate from the world. Good Christian morals sets us apart from the immorality that's going on in this world today.
Well, that in a nutshell is what we're going to be talking about today. Welcome to Sharon Baptist Church. We're located at 2628 Shady Lane Avenue right here in Concord, North Carolina. If you'd like to visit us for live services, we have services every Sunday at 10:45. We take temperatures and offer face masks at the door. We also practice social distancing. If you don't feel comfortable with that, please join us on live stream. We live stream on Facebook at 10:45. Find us on Facebook at Sharon Baptist Concord. If you have any questions about anything, visit our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. Here's Pastor James Strickland.
In trying to adapt God's Word, or let God's Word speak to us in these most trying times, I believe one of the most important aspects of the Christian life that we ought to be exhibiting today is that brand new morality that Jesus Christ came to this earth to not only manifest and maintaining his life, but to make it available to you and I as well. So I'm going to preach today about manifesting and maintaining that new morality in Christ. You'll turn with me, please, in your scriptures to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 17 through verse 20, speaking about manifesting and maintaining that brand new morality which is only found in Christ Jesus. Matthew 5, 17. These are the words, in fact, of our Lord. He said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Carefully note this last verse. "For I say unto you," this is not Matthew's words, these are not the preacher's words, these are Jesus' words. Here's what he said. "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness that shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Sounds like a lot of people not going to make it, doesn't it? One of the many reasons that Jesus Christ came to earth, of course the main reason was to shed his blood, give his life, to save us from our sins. But another reason Jesus came to this earth was to, you might want to say, establish and exhibit, to manifest and maintain a brand new morality that this world had never seen. That new morality in Christ can only be realized and can only be lived in and through the people of God who are saved. Never have I ever seen in my years the morals of our nation as decrepit is a good word, I suppose, or as low as I am seeing them today. It seems that the great Christian morality is being replaced today by situation ethics. Now, what's that mean, preacher? Well, that's a psychological term for psychologists use, sociologists use. Situation ethics is you can do anything you want with anybody you want, any way that you want, any time that you want, and if it seems right in your own eyes, it's okay to do it. That's what's being passed off for morality today, which is nothing less and nothing more than immorality, isn't it? As far as we know it, as far as the Word of God teaches. Now, let me ask you this. Why is this true? This low morality, immorality everywhere you see that. Why is this true? Didn't Jesus come to this earth to give us an opportunity to show us how to live a new moral life, a good spiritually moral life? Didn't he come to do that and show us how to do that and make that available to us and for us? Sure he did. Well, let me ask you this. Do people not understand that? I think we do. Do people not want that? I don't believe most people do. Do people not want good morals today? I don't believe they do. That's why so many religious groups are trying to set forth some kind of principles of some kind of new morality or good morality. But let me ask you something. Why is it not working? Why is it not working? Good Christian morals set us apart from a world filled today with immorality. We're called by the Word of God, "Be ye separate, saith the Lord." Come out from among this world and live a good life, a moral life, a spiritual life. Be separate from the world. Good Christian morals sets us apart from the immorality that's going on in this world today. Now listen, I'm not trying to sell our Christian ethics on anybody. That's not what I'm about today, to sell our ethics. We know to fulfill the righteousness which is in the law of God, one must be controlled by the very Holy Spirit of God. Now listen to what Paul said in Romans chapter 8. If you want to look at it, look at verse 4. Romans 8, 4. Paul says this, "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Just trying to keep the law is never a road, never is a path, you might say, to a relationship with God. You can't be right with God trying to keep the law, because nobody's ever kept the law but Jesus. Nobody can ever keep the law but Jesus Himself. Good Christian morals are because of, listen to me, not in order to gain acceptance of God through Christ Jesus. Listen, the fact that this new morality is even possible in a world that we live in today is nothing more than a great testimony to the risen Christ Jesus Himself. We need to go back at this passage and look what Jesus faced in His day. When He lived here in the flesh, I want you to see what Jesus faced. See how He was able to even manifest and maintain good morality in the face of all the things He had to face then, that we're facing some of the same things today that He faced in His day. So what did He face? What is it we're facing today? What's a hindrance, you might say, to this new morality that Jesus enables us to live? Here it is, number one. He faced outward ritual. Oh, we have ritual from here to yonder today. Outward ritual. He faced it with the Jews. He faced it in the world. We face it today everywhere you go, everywhere you live. You face it. Look at the Jewish rituals that Jesus faced and apply those to what you see going on around you today, this outward ritual. Notice what He faced. He faced racial purity. The Jews felt they were preferred of the Lord. They assumed just because they were the chosen people of God that they were automatically better than other people. They felt like they were automatically included in the very promises and the privileges of God. They were automatically, they felt, in a relationship to God as no other people were. How far from the truth. Racial purity has nothing to do with a relationship to God. Never has, never will. Well, you can't manifest this new morality by being just racially pure, although the Jews tried it. There's some today who are still trying the same thing. It's not found through racial purity. God loves a sinner just as much as He loves you, because He died for him just like He died for you. God has no respect to persons. No other race is purer than the others. No other race is better than the others. At the cross, all the ground is level. We're all on the same level. But Jesus faced this racial purity. They thought they were preferred of God. We face the same thing today, don't we? He also faced intellectual purity. They felt, the Jews felt like they were the protectors of the law. Oh, we were given the law of God. He gave it to the Jews, gave it to us. But you see, he gave them the law to obey the law and to live a good, godly life. But they felt he was just giving them the law to protect the law. They even felt the need to add laws to the law of God. If you know anything about Jewish history, you'll know that they, through the scribes and Pharisees and religious leaders, they already added 600 or more new laws to the law of God. Could you imagine trying to fulfill the law of God to start with when you're defeated to begin with, and then they add 600 more laws on top of that to fulfill? That's what they felt they were doing, protecting the law of God. Then intellectual purity does not bring about a new morality. They thought they were pure because they tried to protect the law. Law-keeping, listen to me, law-keeping does never bring a new morality. We have those today who profess to be the law-keepers. The keepers of the law, they profess that their whole religion is built around law-keeping. Well, if you do that, you're automatically defeated. Jesus plainly said, if you offend in the least of one of the Ten Commandments, you're guilty of all. Who is it of us who has never offended or broken one of the Ten Commandments God gave? None of us. So if you're trying to keep the law to bring about a new morality, you're doomed to start with. Well, their morals of those law keepers today are about as low as any of those who don't even believe the law. They have the same problems that all of us have, don't they? Racial purity, preferred by God, that doesn't bring about new morality. Intellectual purity, protecting the law, that doesn't bring about the new morality. And then Jesus also faced the Jews' ceremonial law. They practiced legalism. Now, they prided themselves by their ceremonial cleansing that they were better than others. They were strict legalists, if you will. We have some of those today too, don't we? Let me give you my kind of definition. You don't have to adhere to it, believe it, accept it or not. But here's what I believe about legalists. A strict legalist today only brings a person to a point of just absolute criticism. They criticize everybody that's not like them. And they criticize everything and everyone that anybody else does that doesn't do just exactly like they say and they do or they live. That's what legalism brings about today. Outward ritual does not bring about the new morality. It doesn't come about by racial purity. It doesn't come about by intellectual purity. It doesn't come about by ceremonial purity. But it does come about by inward reality. The outward ritual needs to be replaced by an inward reality. Look at verse 18, you'll see that. All attempts to live a good Christian moral life is in vain without a relationship to God through Jesus Christ in His own life. You've got to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. Here Jesus explains about law and about life. Inward reality, first of all, comes with a character. I mean, a real life. Listen, the real morality has to come from deep down inside, from the heart. The heart really does demonstrate, doesn't it, what we really are? Didn't Jeremiah say the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked? Who can know it? Didn't Jesus say, from out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh? So the real character of your life comes deep down inside from your heart. This is not some kind of play acting. It's not some kind of drama. that the scribes and the Pharisees tried to portray before the public. There are those today who are trying to do the very same thing. Jesus called them play actors. He called them dramatists, and he also called them hypocrites, didn't he? Does that kind of describe to you Hollywood today? Those over there in Hollywood trying to dictate to us how we ought to live, and they live about as far from that as the East is from the West. Character of life comes from deep down in the heart. How different we ought to live in this world if our hearts are right with God. We've got to live. We must live. We're commanded to live a separate life. Oh, no, not better than anybody else. Not. We're the same. But we're supposed to live different if we have a relationship with God. It comes out in the character of our life. Then that transforms into the conformity of keeping the law of God. Listen, the law is still in effect. Amen? A lot of folks think the law is no good. Oh, no. Jesus himself just said a while ago when I read that passage, I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets. So you see, the law is not dead. It's not in out of effect. It's not old and outdated. It's not set aside. It's still just as relevant today as it was the day it was ever delivered. Listen, conformity to the law of God in Christians' lives and new morality is portrayed in obeying and, listen, living out through our lives the laws of God. Living them out in our daily lifestyle, everywhere we go, all the things we say, the things we do. This pleases God. But you know something I find as I study the history? Jews had no intention of pleasing God. They had no intention of keeping the law. All they were interested in was themselves. So much current event is like that, isn't it? Not interested in serving God. I just heard this week, by the way, on some radio, some broadcast on, I believe it's Fox News, somebody had said, the other side look at religion like it's a joke. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Listen to me. The joke's going to be on them when that eastern sky splits wide open and Jesus Christ comes in the clouds of glory and takes us out of this world. Then who's going to have the joke on who? That's right. Like the old saying, he who laughs last, laughs longest.
That's right.
The joke is on them, I'm sorry to say. Let me ask you something. Let me ask myself something. You ask yourself this question. Why do you serve God? Do you do it to love Him and try to obey His laws and live out what He wants us to live through that new morality? Or are you just doing it to please yourself? That's a question you have to answer for yourself. You see, the inward reality shows up in our character of our life in conformity to the real law of God, the law of love. Then you find the challenges there to live that life. Listen, the challenge is not trying to act out, but live out God's laws in our lives. And what a challenge that is. Where you go, everything you see is anti-almost God. Everything's against the Lord today. It's difficult. It's a challenge to us to live that new morality in the midst of all the things we're living in this very day. Well, a new moral lifestyle, Christian, spiritual, moral lifestyle, is only lived through the reality of a personal relationship of the individual to Jesus Christ as Lord. When that takes place, see what comes next. From this outward ritual to the real inward reality, then you find the personal certainty in this verse 20. There's some strong words there in verse 20. Strong words indeed. Listen, the Christian morality should be based upon a radical difference between us and the scribes and the Pharisees of that day, or the scribes and the Pharisees and hypocrites of today. Great chasm of difference, a new morality is based on the inward reality that comes with the relationship with Jesus. What does it do for us? What does it do for you? I want you to see if it's done this for you. If you've got that personal certainty in your heart and life that you've got an inward relationship with Jesus Christ, here's what you'll find, a personal certainty of this, that you've been set free from religion. There's hundreds of religions all over this world, but there's only one Christianity. It sets us apart from religion. Personal relationship. Religion, let me say it this way. Religion is man's attempt. At best, it's man's attempt to gain acceptance with God through a religion. In Christ, listen to me, we're already accepted of God. The Scriptures teach us we're accepted in the Beloved. When Jesus Christ comes into your heart, He saves you from your sins. You're automatically in a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. And you are accepted. So don't have to try about this PBA. The psychologists tell us performance-based acceptance. You don't have to perform or do anything except accept Jesus as Savior. And you're already accepted of God. You've got that personal certainty that you've been set aside from religion. Don't get sidetracked on what I'm about to say, but listen. Jesus Christ came to this earth to make religion unnecessary. That may sound a shock to you. Jesus Christ came to this world to set religion aside, to bring about Christianity, a real relationship to God the Father through Him. Let me ask you, have you been set aside, set apart from religion? Are you set aside? Have you been set aside from religion? Should be. You can be if you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, you get set free from religion. That's a personal certainty. But a second thing I see, you get set apart, you see, by your relationship to Jesus Christ. Now, what is it that sets us apart from the law keepers and the legalists and the religionists? It's your relationship to Jesus Christ. That alone is what does it. It's by grace. Like Ephesians, Paul writes and says, by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. Legalists can't get it done. Law keepers can't get it done. Religionists can't get it done. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. It's a working of grace through faith in Christ Jesus. No one can live the new morality Jesus came to give us who has not had a new birth. Did you get that? No one can live that new morality if they've not had that new birth. You see, I've got that personal certainty in my life. I know I've had the new birth. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you've had the new birth. That enables you to live the new morality. You've been set free from religion. You're set apart by your relationship to Jesus Christ. Listen to this. You're set aside by righteousness. Our good works and our good Christian living are only examples of the grace of God working in and through us in our lives. Does our righteousness go beyond that of the scribes and the Pharisees? Does our righteousness exceed theirs, those of the past, or those of the present, Pharisees, scribes, and hypocrites? You see, we're set apart by the true righteousness that is only found and only comes from a relationship to Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, how about you? What about your life? Have you been set free from religion? Set apart? Set aside by Jesus' righteousness? It should make a huge difference in your life. If it hasn't, you might want to check and see if you've had the new birth. You see, you can't live the new morality without the new birth. Oh, so many are attempting. And probably they have good intentions, some of them at least, trying to live a good life. It's trying to drive a car with no steering wheel. Crude example, I know, but it's similar. It's impossible. You can't do it. It's impossible. So if you've never had the new birth, there's where it begins. And you know, that's where it ends. It's all wrapped up in the relationship with God through Christ. I can't impress on our hearts enough to be sure, as Peter writes, be sure, beloved, of your call and your election of God. You be sure it's true in your life. You just be sure that you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then you can feel free to ask Him to help you and enable you by the Spirit of God's indwelling in your heart and your life. Ask Him to help you, guide you, set a watch on your lips. Watch what you say. Watch what you do. Watch where you go. Watch who your friends are. Watch all the things about your life. He'll set a very watch over you and help you live that life that pleases. You know, that's the only life that pleases God, really. It's a new morality which is only found in Jesus Christ. I'm glad I know Him. I want you to know Him. If you're watching or viewing today, I want you to know Him more than anything else. I want you to know that Jesus Christ has died for you, as Pam sung earlier. Why in the world would God ever save and come to save the likes of me? Only one answer I can give. Because He chose to. Not because I was worthy. Not because I deserved it. Not because I earned it. Not because I worked for it. Not because He just chose us as His chosen people. He did it because He chose to save me. He chose to save you. And He will save you. You can have that new morality if you trust Jesus Christ and allow the Spirit of the living God to live it out through you. That way, you see, He gets the glory and we get the good. Amen? Let's bow together. And Lord Jesus, I want to say thank You first of all today that You made all these wonderful things possible. In a world that seems like of impossibility, You make this possible. Thereby we know that nothing is impossible with God. You live before us an example of a holy life. You help us that we can live that example before the world today of a holy life, a separated life, a life with a new morality which is based on our relationship to Jesus Christ. If there's someone who's listening or looking today or hearing today that needs that relationship to be established, help them to know that, Lord Jesus, You came and You died for them. You love them. You want them to have that opportunity to have that life too. If they'll open up their heart and repent of their sins, say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a failure. I'm lost without God, no relationship. And I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So I want You to come into my life and save me and be my Lord and Master. Help me live the life that pleases God. I accept You, Lord, today. He'll come into Your life too. And thank You, Lord, for helping us to live that life so that the world can really see that there is a difference between Christianity and religion. Between the legalists, between the law keepers, even between the religionists and the true children of God. Thank You, Lord, for making that possible to us. Help us so to live to please You, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. God bless you today.
Amen. That's right. We're called to be separate. We're called to be different. That was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. We're located right here in Concord, North Carolina. We are open for services on Sunday and practice social distancing. Find out more on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com, or join us for live stream on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord, 1045. God bless.